We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 3, text number. Yuvam vai Brahma nadishtao. Praja sargya yadatata. Saniyam myendriya agramam. Tepate paramam tapaha. Yuvam,
both of you,
Prishnian Sutapa, Vai, indeed, Brahmana Adishtau, ordered by Lord Brahma, who is known as Pitamaha, the father of the Prajapatis, Praja Sarge. In the creation of progeny. Yada, when, tataha, thereafter, saniya, mya, keeping under full control, indriya gramam, the senses, tepate, underwent, Paramam, very great. Tapaha, austerity. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. When both of you were ordered by Lord Brahma to create progeny, you first underwent severe austerities by controlling your senses. Purport. Here is an instruction about how to use one's senses to create progeny. According to Vedic principles, before creating progeny, one must fully control the senses. This control takes place through the Garbhadhana Samskara. In India, there is great agitation for birth control in various mechanical ways, but birth cannot be mechanically controlled. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi Dukha Doshanu Darshanam. Birth, death, old age, and disease are certainly the primary distresses of the material world. People are trying to control birth, but they are not able to control death. And if one cannot control death, one cannot control birth either. In other words, artificially controlling birth is not any more feasible than artificially controlling death. According to Vedic civilization, procreation should not be contrary to religious principles. And then the birth rate will be controlled. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.11, Dharma virudo bhuteshu kamosmi. Sex, not contrary to religious principles, is a representation of the Supreme Lord. People should be educated in how to give birth to good children through samskaras, beginning with the Garbhadhana samskara. Birth should not be controlled by artificial means, for this will lead to a civilization of animals. If one follows religious principles, he automatically practices birth control, because if one is spiritually educated, he knows that the after effects of sex are various types of misery. Bahu Dukha Bhaja. One who is spiritually advanced does not indulge in uncontrolled sex. Therefore, instead of being forced to refrain from sex or refrain from giving birth to many children, people should be spiritually educated and then birth control will automatically follow. If one is determined to make spiritual advancement, he will not beget a child unless able to make the child a devotee. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.18, Pitana Sasyat, one should not become a father unless one is able to protect his child from mrityu, the path of birth and death. But where is there education about this? A responsible father never begets children like cats and dogs. Instead of being encouraged to adopt artificial means of birth control, people should be educated in Krishna consciousness, because only then will they understand their responsibility to their children. If one can beget children who will be devotees and be taught to turn aside from the path of birth and death, mrityu samsara vartmani, there is no need of birth control. Rather, one should be encouraged to beget children. Artificial means of birth control have no value. Whether one begets children or does not, a population of men who are like cats and dogs will never make human society happy. It is therefore necessary for people to be educated spiritually so that instead of begetting children like cats and dogs, they will undergo austerities to produce devotees. This will make their lives... I didn't know this is the subject of before. Yesterday, Urukram Prabhu was telling me, can you give class tomorrow? I said, yeah, no problem, sure, we'll say something. And then I said, oh my God. But anyway, if this is the topic of for today, we can discuss on this topic. This is quite a sensitive topic, usually. You know, like we were talking about, at some point, someone came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, I can make you the biggest guru in the world. But, you know, you have these four regulative principles, and if you can cut one, then it will be all right. You know, we can do proper promotion, you know, like everything will happen. And Srila Prabhupada said, okay, thank you. No, because Srila Prabhupada was having this consciousness that he has to represent the Shri Guru Parampara. So whatever Shri Guru Parampara is giving us guidelines, as instructions, he has to follow, and he has to say the same thing. So Srila Prabhupada says, I'm sorry, I cannot do that. And as we were talking last time, purity is the force. When we talk about our preaching that we want to expand, Srila Prabhupada gave the formula that purity is the force. And purity means, of course, that we have followed regulative principles, and also that we follow our Shri Guru Parampara. And sometimes if some subjects are not so much pleasing to the society, then we should still stick to the opinion of Shri Guru Parampara. Okay, people don't like this idea. Okay, perfect. Of course, this doesn't mean I was I was checking yesterday, we had some guests, and His Holiness Prahladananda Maharaj gave this class, and there was a few things in the text, and there was also Brahmacharya mentioned. So, of course, he was talking about all the others except Brahmacharya. So this means that even though we have some opinions about some sensitive topics, we don't have to start with that, you know, like. We don't have to, when someone comes to the temple, say, oh, are you following the regulative principles? First we say, hi, look, we have this philosophy, Krishna is God, you are spirit soul, and this and that, and by the way, and eventually, at some point, like, oh, and what do you think about? Well, you know, now that you mentioned, and if you're asking... So, I told you before that I was. We had some programs in one city in Romania, and there were two young couples came for the program, and there was one person who sometimes came. He knew our philosophy. He was like more intellectually inclined, and he knew our philosophy by heart, not practicing too much. And then at the end of the class, you know, he saw these two young couples, and you know, they're like, oh, so what is your, you have to tell them what is our opinion about sex. I was like, really? I mean, it's not that you don't see, but still, you know, like, you don't have to start with that. At some point, you know, we'll put it on the table at some point. So this is, very sensitive topic. His Holiness Prahladananda Maharaj mentioned some book or article written by some non-devotees, which is about the strange sex life of the Hare Krishna devotees. And what's this strange sex life of the Hare Krishna devotees? There is no sex life. That's really strange. Actually, in... In modern society, everything is around sex. Sex is everywhere. You have no idea how this sex is imbibed in everything. And somehow it's logical, because sex is the highest material pleasure. And everywhere, especially now in Kali Yuga, and there's everywhere you go, you see posters with some girls in bikini. This means it's really important, you know. Like you go towards, you get on this main street, and you go towards the center, and there on this big building, there's a big poster, some girls in bikini. Always, you know, like sometimes they change, they're different girls sometimes, but there's always some, you know, like. So it's quite important in modern society, and everything is around that, you know, like, and. But from a spiritual perspective, sex is not so important, you know. Like, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that what is night for the all beings is the time of awakening for the self-control, and what is time for awakening for all beings is night for the self-controlled. So it can apply also to timings of the day, you know, like usually non-devotees, they are very active in the evening, and devotees usually in the evening they like, and at 4 o'clock when devotees wake up, the non-devotees they are like deep asleep. So it's also time, but it's also about what's interesting for them, you know. For non-devotees, everything is like interesting. Sex life is very interesting. Wow! Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes. And for devotees, not so much interesting. From a true spiritualist, you have Yamunacharya. He says, there's this famous prayer by Yamunacharya. He says, since my mind has been engaged in the service of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, and I've been enjoying an ever new transcendental humor, whenever I think of sex life with a woman, my face at once turns from it, and I spit at the thought. So that sometimes you have these guys who are like very, they are always like, oh, you have some girls here. So sometimes I tell them this, and they are like quite intrigued. What? You know, like you have, and they say, look, there's sex pleasure, and then there's spiritual pleasure, you know, like spiritual pleasure. And more and more and more. And if you have spiritual pleasure, sex pleasure is like nothing. And they're like, if you tell this to people in the material world about this, they're like, oh my God, no, we can't believe it. This can't be true. No, no. Yes, please. Try. So actually, that's the formula. For someone who is getting some spiritual taste, sexual pleasure is like, you know, like actually it's even it's like scratching an itch, you know, like you have some itch and you scratch and there's some pleasure, you know. So that's all that's all what sex pleasure is about. Yes, there's some pleasure, you know, like there's some itching sensation and you have to scratch, that's it, you know, like finished. And of course, then the itch is coming back, and you have to scratch a bit more. Anyway, and there are some side effects. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport. Yes, of course, there's a bit of happiness, and there's some side effects. There's one book wrote by a devotee where he's quoting many non-devotees saying this. And this is, he explains how by sexual uncontrolled sex, you're losing your strength, you're losing your intelligence. There's these subtle brain tissues which are made when you're drinking milk. There's several types of, you have these cells and these cells, they produce these cells, and this long process. And this condensed thing, substance is lost when you indulge in uncontrolled sex. And there's studies, there's also non-devotees who make these studies. It's complete, you know, like, it's sometimes it's compared with the happiness of the camel. The camel is known for eating thorns. So she's very, very like to chew on these thorns. She'll get some. And there's she feels, oh, this nice taste. And then the camel doesn't realize what's going on, but someone more intelligent realizes that actually by chewing these thorns, there's some cuts on the tongue and so on, and there's some blood coming out. So this nice taste is from the camel's own blood. So the camel is enjoying, yes, but it's enjoying the her own blood. So this is not considered very intelligent. it's not very intelligent. And Srila Prabhupada explains in this purport the cheap version of paying for sexual indulgence. We have uncontrolled sex and we have controlled sex. The cheap version, like the cheap version, is getting children. You want to have sex, okay, but then you have to make children. No problem. And then of course you have to raise the children. And I remember when I was little, I went to on some bus to my grandma. And sometimes we didn't have too much money, and sometimes I didn't buy a ticket, you know, like. And then, at some point, this controller, there's some people who are checking if you have a ticket or not. And somehow, one day he came, and I didn't have a ticket, so I was like, oh. Why don't you have a ticket? Well, but I can give you the money. No. If you give this normal price, you give you buy a normal ticket, and to me you give more. No. So it's same thing here. You know, like there's a cheap price, and there's a expensive price. If you don't pay the cheap price, then you have to pay the expensive price. And this is not like in normal situations where sometimes these guys who make the control are there and sometimes they are not. No, Yamaraj has these people who are always watching. So you cannot escape. You know, there's this bus, you have always there's a control. Like there's this example of Ajamil, and the Yamadutas try to get Ajamil, and the Vishnudutas try to stop them, and the Yamadutas are like, look, this guy was very sinful, we have so many witnesses, the sun, the moon, the demigods, everyone, so we have proof. You have to give, and it's like that. So Yamaraj has the authorities in the universe. They see everything. Sometimes, if you think there's a place where you can hide, and they don't see, they do. So these things they are made in such a way that is you cannot win. If you like, we were discussing last time about Harinam. Same thing. If you have the mentality that you want to enjoy, there's no way. The things are made in this universe that you cannot enjoy. Every little and tiny enjoyment, you have to pay a lot. And if you don't pay the normal price, you have to pay 10 times the price. It's like you have to go from here to the center, and you're thinking, "Oh, maybe I take the bus." Okay. And then you find out, oh my God, it's 50 euro the bus. Like, yeah, okay, but maybe there's no control and it's just one stop until there, and maybe somehow, no, there's always a control. Okay, and what's the fine? Okay, they will take you 500 euros for this. For this, I'm like, okay, maybe this time I will walk. I'm sorry, but maybe this time I will walk. So many pleasures in material pleasure are like that. You get a bit. You pay a lot if you want to pay the normal price, and you pay a lot more if you don't want to pay the normal price. So the only way to make sense out of this sexual business is if you make it as a devotional service. It's really strange to tell people this, but it's true, you know, like everything. If you want to have some happiness, then you have to do it as a devotional service. As a fun fact, you know, like I was some time ago, I was in Hungary, in the Hungarian farm, and I was talking with the devotees there, and they told me that in the beginning, their spiritual master, he told them that they shouldn't have, they cannot have children. I mean, it was very contextual, you know, like because they were building the farm, and there was really lot of work to do, and they said, okay, for some time, like 5 years, nobody makes children. Because if you start making children, then so much energy you have to put in this. And then, you know, like you don't have time to develop the farm. So then they did this for like 5 years or something. I don't remember exactly. And after some time, the spiritual master said, now it's time everyone should make some children. Like, oh, what? And then they're like, no, but no, it's everyone should make some children. So then he was explaining that, okay, if you want to show the whole culture, you have to show this part also. And who will make Krishna conscious children if not the devotees? No, so that was the outcome. And then they had some really nice children. Sometimes I went there at some point, and they had these children from the Gurukul. They were chanting, and they were like 5, 10, you know, like they were very young, and they were like playing on the midang. I would see and singing, like, wow, amazing. So this Srila Prabhupada gives the solution that the whole point of sex life is to propagate, to make Krishna conscious devotees. Like most of us were not lucky enough to be born in a devotee family, and it's probably a lot easier to become a devotee if when you're 2 years old, you run around the temple and everyone is chanting Hare Krishna, and you're born with a mridanga in your hand, you know, like it makes things a lot easier, probably. So we should do that. Of course, there's on a and of course we should do something for the others also, in regard to this. There's this story of Ajamil, which I mentioned a bit before. Most of you probably know the story of Ajamil. Ajamil was born with a mridanga in his hand. He was, he was born in a family of devotees. They were really paka brahma. Everything. Since he was very young, he was worshipping Lord Vishnu. So everything was on track. Until one day, Ajamil went to the forest. And on the way to the forest, he saw this Shudra and this prostitute they were embracing, and it was not so. And okay, I'll just read this text and the purport. It's very, very interesting purport by Srila Prabhupada. So the text. Once this Brahmana, Ajamil, following the order of his father, went to the forest to collect fruit, flowers, and two kinds of grass called Samit and Kusha. So he went to the forest to collect something for the Yagya. They had a Yagya. On the way home, he came upon a Shudra, a very lusty, fourth-class man, who was shamelessly embracing and kissing a prostitute. The Shudra was smiling, singing, and enjoying as if this were proper behavior. Both the Shudra and the prostitute were drunk. Yes, that's what that's how he reacted also. we're being a bit dramatic today. The prostitute's eyes were rolling in intoxication and her dress had become loose. Such was the condition in which Ajamil saw them. So Ajamil, he went to the forest to collect something from this yaga, and he saw this scene. And Srila Prabhupada explains that this is actually very, very rare that you would see something like this. You know, like... and Srila Prabhupada says, nowadays such activities are visible in so many places and we must consider the position of a brahmachari student who sees such behavior. For such a brahmachari to remain steady is very difficult unless he is extremely strong in following the regulative principles. Nevertheless, if one takes to Krishna consciousness very seriously, he can withstand the provocation created by sin. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we prohibit illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. In Kali Yuga, a drunk, half-naked woman embracing a drunk man is a very common sight, especially in the Western countries. And restraining oneself after seeing such things is very difficult. Nevertheless, if by the grace of Krishna one adheres to the regulative principles and chants the Hare Krishna mantra, Krishna will certainly protect him. Indeed, Krishna says that his devotee is never vanquished. Therefore, all the disciples practicing Krishna consciousness should obediently follow the regulative principles and remain fixed in chanting the holy name of the Lord. Then there need be no fear. Otherwise, one's position is very dangerous, especially in Kali Yuga. So you have Ajamil who saw this one episode, and from this his whole life became a mess. Whole life. He was actually married before. He had a nice Brahmana wife. They were doing service together. And he left his wife. He somehow married this prostitute. And he was indulging in so many crazy activities like stealing, even. He became very degraded from this incident, and then somehow due to his past luck, you know, like because he was worshiping Lord Vishnu in youth, so somehow he got to name his child Narayan. So he was always chanting. He was 80 something. He had a very young child, which is, I mean, anyway, he should have retired. And he was always chanting. He was very fond of this child. And he was like always, Narayan, 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 Narayan. What are you doing, Narayan? How are you, Narayan? How is it going, Narayan? So he was chanting the whole day. And this saved Ajamil on the moment of death. When the Vishnu Dutas come and say, look, Yamadutas, okay, sorry. And when the Yamadutas are coming and telling, look, we have to take him to Yamaraj because he was very sinful. And then Vishnu Dutas come, no, he's ours. I was like, look, but, you know, we have a whole list. He done this. Oh, yes. And then the Vishnudutta says, yes, but he was chanting. So, of course, this this example is given for many reasons. One is that we understand how tricky it is, this sex business, and how we should always be careful when association with the opposite sex. And but the main thing is that chanting Hare Krishna is so powerful that even if we are even those sinful persons, they can be, their consciousness can be changed. That's why we go, because if you think of us, what we were before being a devotee, most of us, I mean, probably some not, we were not really, we were quite similar to Ajamila. You know, like, this business, that business, you know, like, maybe a bit regulated, more, but still, you know, like, we were, but still there is hope. And there's also, for the people who hear the Hare Krishna mantra, sometimes we really underestimate the potency of the Hare Krishna mantra. So we can think, oh, there's this Ljubljana is full of Ajamils. And if they hear the chanting of Hare Krishna, their life might be changed, you know, like they might escape, you know, like there's Yamaraj, after this discussion of Yamadutas with Vishnudutas, the Yamadutas are somehow angry and they go to Yamaraj and they say, what's going on? You know, like, we come on your order, we have to punish all the sinful people, and these guys come and stop us. And who's in charge here? What's going on? And Yamaraj says, yes, yes, there's no problem. Krishna is in charge. And he gives an instruction to the Yamadutas. If someone is chanting the holy name of even once, or I don't know the details, don't go near him. Like it's not your business anymore, you know. Like, so it is quite powerful, and we can think that so many people have this chance that they are hearing the holy name, and also sometimes they are chanting. You know, so many people are chanting. I mean, many are chanting that I don't like these Hare Krishna books. This Hare Krishna is crazy. That's still chanting. So yeah, anyway, from the story of Ajamil we can learn that there's some hope for everyone if they're chanting Hare Krishna. And yeah, of course we should be also careful. Okay, it's late. I will stop here if there's some questions, concerns. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.